Let's put things in context. I like context. So this is the third talk in a row where you've seen this diagram. It's the Bedford Community Church's disciple-making environment. And this is something that we're endeavouring to build. And in the first week, we focused on the connect and win. So connect is people like you and I going before God and asking Him to show us people, whether they are existing friends, whether they're neighbours, whether they're family, people that we could really pray for and build a long-standing relationship with. So a bit different than the connect where we run things just at church. That can be a way of meeting somebody, but it's actually engaging in people's lives. And this is one of the principles behind Evangelism Shift, suggesting that in Australia, that may be the most effective way to spread the gospel, long-term relationships. Then we looked in that first week at the win stage, which is where we've actually built a relationship, or it could be that you just meet somebody on the street, it still happens, and there's just a connection and you've invited them to come along to a LifeWorks video evening, and they want to go through the whole lot and they actually make a commitment. How exciting would that be? Well, the next level, and this is as high as we've got at the moment in this church, is the build level. That is, and that's what we're going to focus on today. The build level is we have a 12 months program for new Christians to help develop them, get them on the springboard and get them firing, and helping them to start connecting to their not yet Christian friends. So that's the context. The actual, let's see if we can get this to work. We'll in a minute. There it is. So Murray, Neville and I are working at putting together this program on behalf of the elders. Last week I spoke on the Holy Spirit, and this week I'm speaking on prayer. But it's actually not a program designed for you. It's a program designed for new Christians. But we wanted to introduce you to it so you knew a bit about it. So each of those six headings, each of those six topics, and we've used the mnemonic Holy Spirit power, each of those goes for 4 weeks. And they are at work at home and come together into a group and share the things that you've learned. So it's not a person like me lecturing. It's a learning process where people are in the scriptures themselves and they come together and learn together. And so what we wanted to do is, this is it for me for a while. I did the Holy Spirit last week, Holy Spirit dependence, and this week prayer. And then we're having a break, and then a month or two down the track, we're going to do obedience and the word of God, and then toward the end of the year, exalting God and relationships, so that you as a church know that this is happening and know that we're going to be prepared for people becoming Christians. So that's the context, okay? You could look more excited. So today I'm talking about prayer. Just leave that for the moment. Looking at the Holy Spirit last week, we stopped and tried to capture the wonder that the living God has made a deliberate choice to live within our being. If that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what's going to. That's even better than the West Coast Eagles winning premierships. Okay, just a bit better. So I want to stop for a moment and try and capture the same wonder around prayer. Now, I was trying to think of somebody really famous, and there's a person who I'm interested in, and I'm sure you've heard of him. His name is Elon Musk, and he is the CEO and the product architect of Tesla Motors. Now, I would like to have an electric car. I think I've polluted this world long enough. My wife isn't as interested
in the electric car as I am.
But Elon's my hero. Maybe one day I'll have an electric car. Elon Musk also is the CEO and chief engineer of SpaceX. He partners with the USA and he sends wealthy people up into the sky so they can have a multi-million dollar experience. This guy is creating things which have never been created in the world before. The one that really captures me, he is the founder of the Boring Company. Not boring like you're thinking. He has a system where he believes millions of dollars can be saved by, rather than traveling on roads, we actually travel underground. So his plan is we bore, don't go over the Nullarbor anymore, under Australia. So you go from Perth to Sydney, boom. So this guy has got some creative ideas. He's a multi billionaire. And what do you think the chances are of Graham Taylor meeting him? Even if I was to buy a Tesla, I don't think he'll present it to me. Well, I'm trying to capture, do you know, Graham Taylor has 100% access to the living God at any time, at all time. And the living God doesn't have to be the CEO and product architect. He just speaks. He just says, let there be light. And it happens. So that God is the one who we have access to. We can talk and listen to the living God at any time we choose. That is amazing. That is wonderful. And so today, I want to use the same process. Sorry, that was me fiddling around. I shouldn't have done that. It's just wasting time. Any minute we'll get there. Maybe. Hey, there we are. So, the second component in our discipling program is prayer. Building a base of prayer underlying everything I do. So we're going to look at two things today. The base of prayer underlying everything Jesus did. One of the magnificent things about these six subjects that have been chosen is on every occasion you can start with Jesus. I'm excited about that. We go to the life of Jesus because he is the model of how to live on planet Earth in relationship to the living God. And then we'll look at building a base of prayer underlying everything Jesus' followers should do, which is us. So just as Jesus was fully engaged in dependent prayer in his time, living on the human level, he calls his followers to do the same. And our touchstone or verse today is Matthew 18, verse 1. Jesus told his disciples a parable. He said, he told a parable to teach them that they should always pray and never become discouraged. Or I actually like the old version, seeing Paul's given us all the old hymns today. There's some scriptures that we're going to use that I think are more powerful in what we learnt many years ago. The King James, if I'm correct, said, pray and never faint. So that's what Jesus was modelling. And if you want to even take that further, in Hebrews 4 verse 16, we read, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Well, the old version said, let us approach the throne of grace boldly. So the living God is saying to us, come on, engage with me. Let's talk, let's listen, let's travel together, let's communicate, let's commune. That's an invitation. That's the sort of God that we have. So let's have a look at the model of Jesus then. Let's see if I can do this the first time. Whoa. So, observations about how Jesus prayed. You've got to start here. Jesus' prayer life was based on an intimate, loving relationship with his Father. Do you remember when we were doing the Holy Spirit stuff last week, we started with his baptism. And what happened at Jesus' baptism regarding the Holy Spirit? That was a question. What happened? Yes, the dove. The Spirit came upon Jesus. And if we looked at the whole of Luke chapter 3, 21 to 23, it says that Jesus was praying, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and the Father spoke. And he said, "You are my Son whom I love." How beautiful is that? So this, the prayer life of Jesus is contained within a loving relationship. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Triune God communicating perfectly. And just to capture again the closeness, and these are just cameos, just before Jesus prayed for Lazarus and raised him from the dead, Jesus said these words, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me." That's the confidence that Jesus had. And if you read the Gospels, Jesus just spends so much of his time disappearing at times when he is under demand, and he just disappears and spends time with the Father to find out, where do we go next? What's the next direction? So Jesus, the Son of God, is dependent on the Father, and he gets his directions through spending time with him. We also read that Jesus prayed alone and regularly. Again, these are just cameos. Luke 5 verse 16 says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." It's just all the way through the Gospels. And it's regular. We read that Jesus prayed for others. This beautiful scripture in Matthew 19. "Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them." In John 17, the intercessory prayer where Jesus is praying his heart out for his disciples because he's about to go to the cross. And he prays, he says, "I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those who you gave me." Not that Jesus didn't pray for the world, but this was an intercessory prayer for his disciples that he had prepared, who would go out to multiply and see the kingdom grow. So Jesus prayed for others, and he prayed with others. In Luke 9 verse 28, we read Jesus took Peter, John and James with him and went up to the mountain to pray. Jesus prayed short, flash, one sentence prayers, and he prayed long prayers. So in Matthew chapter 6, we know the Lord's Prayer. Paul mentioned it this morning. Interestingly, I'm not sure that Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer so we'd be able to say it off by heart, which can tend to move into being a bit mindless. Not time to really explore that today, but I think the Lord's Prayer is a model prayer for us to develop rather than a prayer to just speak. And we used to do it when I was at high school, and the whole group used to be able to lull together. We'd go, "No, no, 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 no." People weren't even saying the words. So there are short prayers that Jesus prayed and how he taught us to pray. And then we have Jesus spending nights in prayer. Again, the number of times he did that are quite outstanding. So for the moment, we're just looking at the model of Jesus for prayer. And it goes on. So another observation is Jesus prayed before, during, and at an important events. And these are just, again, a choice. These are some of them. He's praying at his baptism. He prays at the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000. He prays at the transfiguration. He prays at the raising of Lazarus. He praises and has got great joy, and the Spirit of God comes upon him when the 72 come back after their preaching. In John 17, the intercessory prayer, in Gethsemane, Jesus prays three times. When choosing the 12, Jesus goes to prayer first, then goes to selecting the 12. He prays three times on the cross. He prayed for Peter as an individual, and he prayed that the Father would send the Holy Spirit. That's not all the praying Jesus did, but I just want you to see that he was committed before, during, and after important events. Jesus prayed in nature. I think this is so encouraging. Luke 6, verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray. I don't think it was just that he went to pray, but that there was something about nature. Given that he designed it, I guess he probably liked it. But Jesus seemed to like to go to places to pray. That can be a real fillip for us as well. But we'll get to that. Jesus taught us to be persistent in prayer. That's the verse we started with in Luke 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to teach them that they should always pray and never become discouraged. This is an interesting one. Jesus knew that not all his prayers would be answered as expected. So Matthew 26, we've got part of his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." So Jesus is saying, if it's possible that I don't have to go through the cross, but your will be done. So Jesus is asking, "Father, can you do this?" He doesn't get that answer. And if Jesus hadn't been open to that, not all of his prayers might be answered as expected, we would be stuck today, because we know what we have through Christ's death and resurrection. And interestingly, Jesus hasn't stopped praying. All those things that we looked at happened while he was on earth. But Romans 8:34 says, Jesus is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Jesus goes on praying for you and me. So I mentioned last week a slight concern that I have, that we focus so much on the death and the resurrection of Jesus that we may miss the modeling of Jesus when he lived on earth, because he is, from a kingdom of God perspective, the only person to have lived the way God planned. He is our model. And we need to be looking more and more and more about how he lived. So let's do that. Let's actually say, okay, so we've got the blueprint. Jesus has done a masterful job. How's this apply to us? Okay. So let's start by putting some of those things that we observe together. So we're going to lump some together here. We're going to look at Jesus prayed alone and regularly. Jesus prayed long prayers. We're looking at long prayers to start with. Well, longer. Jesus prayed for others. Jesus prayed before, during, and at important events. Now, there's an acronym or a mnemonic, whatever you want to call it, that can help us in our prayers, called ACTS. And it's a movement of prayer where we start with adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And initially, I thought we'd look at the Lord's Prayer and use that, but it's actually in here, but there's a little bit more. So when you and I set time aside for prayer, this is the longer time, not the flash prayers, we'll talk about those. It's a lovely discipline which is built into the Lord's Prayer, that Jesus in the Lord's Prayer actually holds off asking for our daily needs till way through the prayer. So a really healthy way for you and I to pray is to start with adoration. When we go into God's presence, praise God for who he is. Then confession. If we're aware that there are things that we have done that could interfere with our relationship We know 1 John 1:9 says if we confess our sins, he's willing to forgive us. To be honest, I think the biggest issue for people who have been Christians for a long time is actually the sins of, I've gone and forgotten the word. Omission. Thank you. I want to say omission. It's not the sin of omission. That is that. Oh, we've actually lost sight now of spending time in God's Word, or we just don't realize now that we are not doing things. It's almost like, you know, that the iron has seared over them, and we've lost the sensitivity about that. So the concept of confession is, as mature Christians, to be careful there's not things that we've let go of that are the things that keep us growing. Thanksgiving. So much in Scripture about Thanksgiving. Thank God for all that he's done. Thank God for our families. Thank God for our country. There's so many things to thank God for. And then we get to supplication. Folks, please be clear that God does not have a problem with you asking him for things. It's exactly the opposite. And I want to read to you, please, from Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Many of you will know this scripture. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Folks, I want you to know that God was the first one to establish that there is a speech act within language called a request. And a request is one of the most powerful bits of language that exists, because if you see a gap, and you can't fill that gap yourself, and you ask somebody else to do it for you, do you realize that you've just created something that didn't exist before? Requests are one of the most powerful speech acts that exist in language to get things done, to create a new future. Well, before wise people discovered the power of making requests, God is saying, bring your requests to me. And the research about requests shows that many people will not make requests to other people because they don't want to be responsible for them now. They don't want to have to make that up because they did something good for them now. We must not get into that habit with God. God says, make requests. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Paul's already mentioned that this morning. So, folks, be careful that you and I haven't imbibed a lack of asking God. It's almost an insult not to go to God with our needs. He loves it. He can't help himself. An amazing God that he is. So that's a simple... Oh, where'd it go? I'm raving on here, and I must have gone the wrong way. There we go. Or a lint on it or something. So that's the a common acronym for prayer that can be really healthy. That's the longer prayers, praying for others, interceding. That fits into the supplication bit. But I've added a bit. I'm changing axe to axle. Okay? So it's axle from now on. And because this is the biggest issue in my prayer life. I am quite confident and good at talking to God. I am not good at listening to him speak to me. It's something that I really want to grow in. And so spending time after we've got through our acts, which might take us 10 minutes, or it might take us half an hour, or we might go for an hour walk, but to stop and say, God, enough from me. Is there some things that you want me to be aware of? Are there people you want me to follow up? And just trust the living God might communicate some stuff to you. I know I need to be better at that. I think we all need to grow in hearing God's voice. And those examples I've given Philip hearing God's voice, Peter being directed by the Spirit of God, and Paul. And we must get beyond believing, oh, well, of course you'd expect those three to hear from God. God can and will speak to us. We just need to give him time. So that was putting a few of them together. There's a few more we need to learn from. Following Jesus' model. How about the praying in nature? Walking and praying? For me, it's writing. I take, to be honest, I haven't been doing this much because I'm writing mostly with people that I'm trying to win for Christ at the moment. But over many years, I stick a prayer list on my Speedo on my bike. And I'm out there in what's nature for me, bitumen roads. but I can ride, and I can be clear in my head and just converse with God. All sorts of things have come to us in that riding. Maybe sitting in a garden is what works for you. But having a special place, whether it's moving, for me, the more I'm moving, the more I can be contemplative. Sit me down and the muscles aren't working and I lose concentration. But movement works. And what works for you, which would allow you to be really exploring and this call to prayer? Jesus prayed with others. So small groups, if you're in a home group, friends, praying with friends. I don't know about you, but that one is a little bit of a barrier. Like, I have a really close Christian friend in Steve Broadway, and sometimes one of us will say, mate, let's pray about that before we go. I don't know what it is that we aren't more open about that. And one of the things I do feel that God wanted me to say today, and I say it to myself first, is husbands and wives praying together. That is, in one sense, one of the most natural ways that we could do that. And yet, my sense is it's a struggle. And I think God would want to encourage us about that. And if you've got a whole family that are Christian praying together. So praying together is really important. Jesus taught us to be persistent in prayer. Don't give up. Watch and pray. And the last thing I want to talk about, Jesus prayed short prayers. I'm sure you've heard of Brother Lawrence. He didn't write it, but people wrote for him an amazing book way back in the 17th century, Practicing the Presence of God, Spontaneous Prayer, Flash Prayers, Chatting to God. You know, in our busy world, this is a fantastic way of keeping in touch with God. At any time, anywhere. And there are lots of things that we do which don't require our full concentration. Driving a car, riding a bike, doing the dishes. To actually be chatting to God at any time, the invitation is there. And I really, really want to encourage you about that. And in fact, this is so important, I'm going to give you a memory verse for today. That hasn't happened at church for a while, has it? And it's really hard to remember. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Pray continually. Do you think you can handle that one for the day? Pray continually. That's the invitation that we have from our amazing God. Okay, we need to finish off. So let's do that. Jesus knew that all his prayers would not be answered as expected, and that's going to be our experience as well. And just a reminder that Paul said, for now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully. 1 Corinthians 13. Folks, we are not fully redeemed yet. We don't hear everything clearly from God. Don't let that knock you off the rails when something that was really important for you, God does not answer it in the way that you or I would want. Persist. And then finally, this is where we started, and this is where we must finish. Jesus' prayer life was based on an intimate, loving relationship with his Father. Folks, you can consider prayer a spiritual discipline, and it is, but the driver for prayer is an intimate, loving relationship with a God who just cannot help loving us. I've listed a number of things that prayer can be there other than just talking. I'm not going to read them out, but I'm just going to stop for a moment. All of those things can happen in prayer because of the potential intimate relationship that we can have with God. Have a quick read. Some of them you might think, oh, I couldn't do that. It doesn't matter. Some can. Okay. To finish, I can't emphasize enough, folks, how prayer is kingdom work. It is a key practice of partnering with God. Last week, we looked at how we partner with the Spirit of God. Prayer is just an extension of it. Can you see how being indwelt and empowered by the Spirit of God goes hand in glove with our dependence on God in prayer? And we have a God who seems to be able to cope with us forgetting to pray, leaving him out, and welcomes us back in. He didn't get stuck like we do with feeling people should be paid back or ignored. So I want to really encourage you, and I'm trusting that the Spirit of God may have encouraged you too, and I want to practice my habit of I stop and just for a couple of minutes ask if you would be willing to talk to your God, our God, and answer the first question. What's one area of prayer that you sense the Spirit of God is calling you to develop? Just one area that you could further develop or you could start, and then chat with your Heavenly Father now about how you will start to address that this week. I'm going to sit.